Hey, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop all the way through 2018. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, everybody chiming in for our first show of the year. I am Walter Dorelia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris and I meet every week to chat about comics and to inform you, the loyal listener, on all the ins and outs of what's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's one of these days, maybe next week, because I don't think we're quite prepared for it, we should do a recap of what happened in 2017.
I can't remember what happened.
I know, right? That's the thing. I can't quite remember it either. So
there were some good things, some bad things, some things, some sad things.
Yes,
that happened in 2017. Maybe you're right. Maybe a good review, next week. Yeah. But I think this show should
still
be
hung over from New Year's Eve. So I
good for
no
you,
shape
Owen.
To do
good
anything
you,
like that. Right
you brought
now.
The year in right.
I really did.
Right, in a drunken stupor.
Drunken stupor, you know, a little too many mimosas in the morning,
nice. A little too much. Anyway, we'll
That should be the name of a good radio show, Mimosa in the Morning.
Mimosa in the Morning.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I love the smell of mimosa in the morning.
No, you know what?
Smells like vomit.
I had the in-laws over for, a couple of scotches.
No wonder the mimosas were out.
Right? Exactly. So,
yeah,
anyways,
stuff with the in-laws. So you still get along with the in-laws? I remember.
Yeah, you know what? We do, actually. Yeah, we get along well, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, we
good
played cards and had a rousing evening of cards.
Look out.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, we're looking forward to 2018.
Yep.
This is our first show of 2018. Chris and I, you and I think it's a weekly show, and we've committed to 60 shows this year.
No, we can't do. First of all, we can't do 60 shows in a year. There's only 52 weeks.
Oh, thank God! Because it did sound like a big number to me.
Yeah, we're gonna do at least
50.
12.
12. Between 12 and 50.
Something like that.
That's our goal.
Yeah, okay.
Wonderful.
You know what? I think, we normally, we sometimes take the summer off, because we're busy people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we can commit to like 40 shows in the year.
Before summer?
No. In 2018.
In 2018.
40 shows. This is going to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we take 2 months off in the summer, that's 8 gone.
Right.
So that's 44.
Right.
So, we only have
four slip-ups.
Four slip-ups, exactly.
Right on.
We're going to have 40 shows this year. This is the
right
goal.
On. All right. And that's 40 shows worth of valuable information for people listening.
You know what? That is 40 hours of free entertainment.
Right.
To
you can't really, I don't think you can even pay for it.
Can't buy that.
You can't.
Can't buy that free entertainment.
I think we're going to stick with the format we've been going with, Chris, before, where you start the show with comics.
But you know what? Before we start that, I have to give a quick shout out.
Uh-huh.
One of our newer listeners, Tracy. You know
Tracy,
who you are.
I know Tracy.
She is having some health problems right now, but I want to give her a little shout out, saying you need to get well soon so you can listen to the podcast and be up and aware and all that stuff.
Tracy, we wish you Godspeed with your health. Maybe a little mimosa in the morning will help the condition.
Right.
But, yeah, Chris and I are going to jump into comics that are hitting your local comic book shop this week. So when you walk in, check the new this week stand, and I bet you're going to see a few of the books that Chris is pointing out.
Absolutely.
Now, the sponsor
Sponsor
for this week's new this week segment is Mount Gay Rum, not rum, what am I saying? Mount Gay Club Soda.
Oh, right, right.
The preferred choice of Steve Bino and his uncle Clifton.
Ah, nice.
Clifton's a Jamaican name, mostly.
I like that name, Clifton.
I'm not sure if it's a St. Lucian name.
I don't know. I don't know if it is, but I like that name for Clifton.
Clifton. Yeah. Clifton Hill.
Yeah, Clifton Hill. You know Clifton Hill, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah. I met him 3 years ago. Now you've had a look at the stack,
right?
And you've picked these out. You've centered
you know
on
what?
These.
I have centered on these out this ones. Week. So first one I'm going to talk about here is Star Wars. And the reason why I'm going to talk about this, of course, there's all kinds of hype around Star Wars, and we're going to talk about that later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
However, more importantly, there has been people that are Star Wars fans. You know, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that there have been a lot of people that are not very happy with the Marvel Comics universe right now. However, having said that, there are a lot of people that are very happy with the comics coming out of Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
So it's a funny thing because there are a lot of people that don't like the usual stuff that Marvel's producing, but they're loving the Star Wars stuff.
Right.
So it's strange, and I think it's because it's like, for example, I'm holding in my hands Star Wars number 41 by Kieran Gillen and Salvador LaRocca, great artists, by the way.
Right.
And writer. But you know what? These stories still deal with like Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and Princess Leia, but they're still wrapping in portions of did you see Rogue One? So there's people from Rogue One where they would have maybe been a little bit connected and maybe coming in later on in the series.
Right.
So you know what? Got Han and Chewie, and this is what people want to see in Star Wars. People love the seeing the star their favorite characters in Star Wars comics, and you know what? The art is fantastic.
All right, Chris, let me ask you something.
Ask me.
All right. So Disney bought Star Wars for $4 billion.
Yep.
And then Disney bought Marvel for $4
billion. Yep.
So roughly speaking, the market value of each thing was the same. I was going to say franchise, but okay. Star Wars is just one franchise, whereas Marvel is many.
Okay, but hold on. Let's backtrack.
Okay.
Beep, beep, beep. Disney didn't buy Star Wars for $4 billion. Disney bought Lucasfilm for $4 million. $4 billion, which includes like properties like Industrial Light and Magic, as well as Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Indiana Jones series,
okay, right, okay.
As well as Star Wars.
Okay, but I'm sure the Star Wars franchise was heavily weighted in that $4 billion.
I'm sure it was, but
at least half.
Sure. Okay, no. We can say that. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So my question would be, so because when you were telling me how the readers are enjoying Star Wars,
yep.
Right? Because Star Wars is kind of like a finite... Try to stay with me here, because I don't even know what I want to say.
Okay, yeah, it's going to take me a while, but
okay.
Go ahead.
Because Star Wars is a finite... Like, it's a standalone property. But when you're telling me people are loving reading Star Wars, and then when I look at the value of Star Wars and the scope of Star Wars, and then I look at the publishing end of Marvel and how 96% of the Marvel publishing is to the Marvel U, and 4% is to Star Wars. I made that up, but it's somewhat close.
Yeah, okay, sure. Good.
I'm thinking, is there more room for more successful Star Wars titles? Can there be 22 Star Wars titles?
Sure.
Why? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't
But there's a big but. Okay. Do you remember big butts? And again, not loud. Do you remember? Okay, you're an old comic guy, like
Chris.
So, do you remember back in the day when X-Men had one title?
I do.
And it sold like a million copies.
I do.
And then they branched off into Wolverine and Uncanny X-Men, and then just plain X-Men, and then Storm and Nightcrawler goes,
and then
Excalibur,
then New Mutants,
and New Mutants, yeah. And blah 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 blah, and all of a sudden
X-Force
and X-Factor, and all of a sudden you had 12 titles all with the same characters. Right.
That's the one that you used
to track. And how many titles? How many copies of each of those were being sold?
Lots.
Yeah, not as many as
at the
original
beginning.
Core
okay,
title.
Fair. I get it. I get what you're saying.
My point is, do you want to water it down for the sake of a few extra bucks, or do you want to make it really cool and have a few titles and make it amazing and have lots of them?
No, I think with, let's say, the X thing, if they stuck with core X-Men, like, you know, for future merchandising and for future licensing, now, you know, they can maybe do something with X-Factor. They can maybe do something with X-Force. They can maybe do something with Excalibur. There are new created properties that Marvel went on and created to try to take advantage of the mutant hysteria.
Right.
And then maybe Star Wars can do the same.
But it gets watered down and then...
Yeah, only in print. Only in print, but maybe...
Okay, but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
we're talking
good point.
We're talking about in print with the Star Wars comics.
See what I mean about not thinking my question?
So what I'm saying is, I don't know if I'd want to buy... So this Star Wars comic is like a movie, but in paperback, but in, like, you know, comic form.
Yeah. Because
it has Han Solo and
Luke.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that a little bit, right? Too, about the cliffhanger month-to-month.
Right, so this later. So this currently has all your favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to buy just a Luke Skywalker?
A Boba Fett?
Just a Boba Fett? Just a Bosk? Just a IG-88? Just a whatever, like R2-D2 comic?
Well,
you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe if they're good.
Yeah, but I'm saying when you look at the power, when you look at the power of the Star Wars franchise in other media, namely, I'll name three.
Sure.
Okay. The size of the Star Wars property in toys.
Yeah.
The size of the Star Wars property in video games. The size of the Star Wars property in cinema is massive.
Okay, but
and maybe the size of the Star Wars property in print for comic books isn't big enough. Maybe it should be bigger.
I think I don't know. I would worry that it becomes too watered down and then therefore it doesn't have the same emphasis.
Ah.
Emphasis. Usual, right? So
okay.
I'd be worried about that.
All
because
right.
I'm gonna take a little bit of a segue here.
Segue.
So but you know, talking about expanded property. So, you know, Star Wars has, you know, back in the day they had the role-playing game and they created portions of Star Wars that nobody had ever heard of, and now it's sort of like canon. And then now, you know, the comic books have certain things that they create for the comic books, and now it's sort of like the main thing.
Right.
Well, I was watching an interesting show on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about the rise of some of the most influential toys.
Right.
And the first one they talked about was Star Wars.
Of course.
And how they went through the process and all this kind of stuff. And they're talking
how Kenner
about
got it and nobody Kenner, else wanted
nobody
it.
Nobody else wanted
right.
it. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard about it.
Oh, it's an amazing documentary. Mm-hmm. But one of the interesting things was, you know, so, you know, as a kid, you want the TIE Fighter and the Millennium Falcon and all that.
Han
but
Solo.
They're very expensive.
You know?
No,
yeah.
the ships themselves.
Oh, okay, the big things.
Big right. things were very expensive, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, at the time, if you couldn't afford that, Kenner made up with these things called mini rigs, and they were like little tiny versions of, or little tiny toys that, you know, the average consumer could buy. And they passed it by George Lucas, and he loved it. He
right.
loved the idea because he loved the idea of the fact that people were expanding on his original idea and concept.
Right,
right?
I get it.
And I think that you can do that with Star Wars, but you have to be really careful with the comics and, you know, be careful with what you do and how you're going to actually expand on all that stuff.
Do you have to be careful because they don't let you, or do you have to be careful for another reason?
Well, I think you have to be careful because it has to be a good idea and because right. you want to make sure it's, you know,
now that,
not
which
you.
Brings up another great a topic, which really it brings up another great topic. It is I think, you know, like, let's say a property started in the movies. Wouldn't it be elitist to think that the only new things that mattered, the only new canon that mattered, can be produced from another movie? That's kind of elitist. Isn't it great to realize that, you know, the Star Wars started in movies, but things can be added to the canon in a video game,
right?
Even in on a box of a toy,
sure.
could be a sequence of a new character or something like that, or in a comic book,
yep.
like you know, like
why not?
You know, a new story that's never been told, type
yep.
of thing, and that actually becomes part of the whole property.
Right?
Like, why
right.
limit anything new? Why limit why limit something new introduced in a movie only to be able to be replicated in all the other media?
Right.
Why not allow all the other medias to add to?
Do what they want. Because
right.
That allows for some creativity and freedom.
Right. But all within kind of like the sanctioned
right.
Umbrella
context,
of
yep.
continuity and yep. of canon.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Oh.
I totally agree. I think it's a great idea.
Awesome. Hey.
So all we have to do now
uh-huh.
is come up with a movie or an idea and let other people kind of come up with the rest of it.
Right. Which opens up that whole can of worms of, you know, why don't they download the 50 best fan fiction stories
right.
Or fan fiction
yep.
videos
yep. Yep.
and then just say, hey, this guy nailed it or this girl nailed it.
Yep.
We're going to add, we're going to take this fan fiction and we're going
to make
a tangent, yep. right?
Which happens the odd time.
Right,
yep.
which is fantastic. Yep. Yep. All right, Star Wars number 41. Is that your local comic
book shop? Do we have time for the rest of our
Are you kidding me? We'll make time.
All right, okay. Very quickly here. You know, here's a book that I actually kind of wish I had started reading because I really like the artwork in it. It's called Rat Queens by
Rat
Image.
Queen.
And it's by Curtis Weeb and Owen Jenny. Anyways, it's just a really cool, it's got like some elf type people in it, and it's got kind of a mystery fantasy kind of feel to it. I just really like the artwork in it.
Fantastic.
I wish I had started reading it.
That's from Image. It's called Rat Queens, and it's up to number 7. And guess where that is? It's at your local comic book shop.
Perfect. All right. Next up, we've got Scales and Scoundrels. And this is up to another Image comic by number... It's up to number 5. Written by Sebastian Gerner and art by Galad. Interesting looking book. So, again, it's another kind of... I'm going to call it fantasy kind of book, but the art style is completely different. It's got a bit of a anime, North American, European feel to it. I don't know. It's got almost like a Brian Lee O'Malley, but not quite. A little bit of Katie Cook in there as well. Anyways, Scales and Scoundrels.
Wonderful. Hey, Scales and Scoundrels number 5 is at your local comic book shop.
Okay, now we've gone on to Marvel, and this is Marvel Legacy Guardians of the Galaxy number 150. This is part of the Infinity Quest. It's got an amazing cover by Alex Ross here. The Return of Warlock.
Oh,
so this is bound to be good. Awesome artwork on the cover. Awesome story on the inside by Gary Duggan. So, take a quick look at that.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's one of those. Help me out with that.
It's got a lenticular
Thank
cover.
Thank you. Lenticular cover. It's a fantastic looking cover. And it's Guardians of the Galaxy 150. Kind of like an anniversary issue.
Yeah, I like it.
And it's the Return of Warlock with that classic Warlock logo.
Yeah,
font.
I love that. Yeah.
That's Starlin-esque.
70s Jim uh-huh. Starlin. Okay, so here's another book here that I got to say. Again, another book I wish I had bought. I mm-hmm. love the cover.
Yep.
It's Phoenix Resurrection. Matthew Rosenberg is the writer. Carlos Pacheco is the penciler. And he's an amazing penciler. I love his artwork. But you know what? We got...
Wasn't he Ali's corner man?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Inyuk Lee is doing the variant cover. And I think it's a great, great cover here.
Well, I like that cover. That's Phoenix Resurrection from Marvel. Number 2. At
right.
your local comic book shop.
And finally, here's a book that, you know what, if you're a fan of Batman, if you're a fan of...
Well, who's not a fan of Batman?
Well, some people don't like him, you know. Some people are more super on the Superman side of things.
I understand.
And but you know what, if you like Batman, if you like Scott Snyder, which a lot of people do, you should probably check this out. This artist is Cully Hamner, or the writer is Tony Patrick, but the story itself is by Scott Snyder and Tony Patrick. This is Batman and the Signal. And if you're not too sure who the Signal is, he's sort of not a Robin, but sort of a sidekick to Batman the Odd Time.
Wait a minute, is that like an homage to the Batman Signal?
Yeah, it's sort of
that's his logo,
yellow.
It's like
yeah.
a Batman Signal.
That's right. Yep.
So they've taken the Batman Signal.
And created a character.
Created a character.
That's right.
I don't know whether that's brilliant or lame.
Maybe a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Hey, and Chris, did you notice on the back of this advertised, is I can't believe they're still going, the Kubert School of Art.
Yeah, as they should be, right?
Yeah.
A lot of great artists have come from that school.
That's fantastic.
A lot of great artists.
That's fantastic. Hey, Batman and the Signal, number 1, is at your local comic book shop. And Chris has rhymed a few off, but there's tons more at your local comic book shop. So please head on in and peruse the new this week.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about things that are going on in the industry of world of comic books.
Chris, that's some sweet stuff. What's that?
It's like that's an all Krantz episode today.
Oh,
all
beautiful. Krantz. All the what time, way? So. What better way to ring in the new year?
This one's called Krantz "Heading episode. For the Bank." Heading for the bank.
Attaboy.
All right.
Listen, takes us into industry news, and industry news is brought to us by 2018. It's here, and it's ready to one up 2017.
You know what?
Are you?
Good riddance to 2017. That's what I got to say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like we said before, and we'll discuss it at next week's show, because this week's show is all about looking forward
right.
to 2018. But next week, we'll do a little recap of 2017.
Look back.
Our favorite moments yep. and our not so favorite moments. But let's talk about 2018 in this show.
Well, I got to ask you. So I know you probably want to, I know you're itching to talk about trends.
Mm-hmm.
But can we save that?
Can we
talk about this whole new distribution model thing that's going on with this Sit Comics or whatever the heck it's called?
Yeah, I misread that.
Oh,
first
what?
Time.
Oh.
Sit Comics?
Sit Comics.
Yeah, I thought there was an H in there. So.
Oh, it's probably a good thing you did miss it.
Yeah. So I thought it was Sit H Comics.
Yes. So, you know, here's what I don't understand.
And here's really, what you don't you understand.
Could, you could fill a warehouse with what I don't understand.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to have to help guide me through this.
Right.
There's a new publisher of comics,
mm-hmm.
That's not news. There's all kinds of new
lots
publishers.
Lots of new
all
publishers. A lot of guys
they
trying to make a run at
yep,
it, trying
yep.
to play the game.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But what I don't understand here is I don't understand this whole sell-through distribution, pre-sale catalog, binge book catalog, yada, 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 longer formats. I don't. What's going on here? Explain.
Well, okay. Their approach is a two-prong approach.
Okay. First of all, who is it?
It's Sit Comics,
okay.
which is a Santa Monica-based publisher that are coming up with their initial line is a humor-based line.
Okay, that's iffy to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
But
well, Chris, I think you and I discussed before I'd use the word entrenched.
Right.
In the entrenched world of comics,
yep.
you know, you have to have a Wolverine or a Batman or a Star Wars on
right.
the damn cover
right.
in order to have any kind of longevity. And,
yep.
you know, power to anybody that tries to carve a new niche or
totally.
New, you know what I
totally.
Mean? So these
yep.
guys got their backs against the wall right away.
Yep.
Right?
I
but,
agree.
But, you know, thank goodness that it hasn't stopped them from trying.
Right, right? Absolutely.
So I think where they're diverging, where they're trying to change the game, if I could say it, is this with a couple of concepts. One is immediacy.
Okay.
So the final order cutoff and delivery, I think with Marvel, I'm going to be wrong, in DC and those guys right now, I'm going to be wrong, but it's probably like 6 weeks. 5 weeks?
Well, no,
yeah, it could be
longer.
6 to 8 weeks. Five to 8 weeks.
Usually you get a catalog in, say, January.
So the end of January is for March delivery.
Is when they're due, for March delivery.
Right.
Yeah. So it's around 6 weeks.
Well, it could be, 5 to 8 weeks.
Right.
So that's when you're getting your stuff.
Yeah, okay.
This final order cutoff is you order it this week, you get the book next week.
Come on.
Yeah.
How can they possibly do that?
I don't know. Well, they've obviously come up with a way.
All right.
So you get the immediacy.
Okay.
Okay, because that's what customers demand.
They like the immediacy,
and then they took the Netflix approach, Crave TV approach.
I don't understand this.
Okay.
Explain.
So basically, they're not writing arcs.
What do you mean?
They're not going to write arcs. They're not going to write an arc where you have to wait, just like the TV shows where you have to wait next week to the next episode.
Yeah.
Netflix is all about binging and watching the whole season right away.
Right.
They've realized that, and they want to write their comics the same way. So their minimum size of comic is going to be, what, 64 pages?
64 pages,
Which kind of adds to that. You know, there might be three full stories in there, but it all comes to you at once. So it's a binge approach.
Okay, you follow what I'm saying?
You're not going to, and they're all self-contained.
Okay.
That way, because you don't want to, the new customer doesn't want to wait for anything.
Interesting.
They don't
want to,
wait for the cliffhangers.
Yep,
right?
Okay. Fair enough.
And our whole industry is designed around the monthly cliffhanger, waiting for the story arcs to finish and stuff like
that. Yeah,
that's
true. That's true.
And so you have that is also different. And what was the third thing? I forget right now, but basically it's the immediacy, the turnaround, and full returnability for the retailer.
Interesting.
Because they're trying to get the retailers on board,
right.
So they're trying to go full returnability. And all those things, Chris, all those three things right there are fantastic. But I don't know if it's enough, because having Billy Bob and his and his cousin, Jimbo.
Shecky, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's enough. Having a great kind of infrastructure when this is all character and property driven to begin with.
You know
what I'm saying?
I agree.
If they did those three things with Batman,
yeah,
woo,
it'd be awesome.
Look out.
But you know what? They're not.
Right.
And we've seen, but maybe they will.
Maybe they will. Maybe Sit
is going to have the next Batman?
No, maybe Sit will catch the attention of the DC. Boys in Marvel. Look, JB.
Yeah.
I got this new thing called Shit, see?
You said Sit, right?
I just said Sit, see?
Okay.
I think the kids are on to something, see?
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's where its influence may be felt the most.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. It's we've seen some really big comic companies come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Valiant,
CrossGen.
CrossGen is probably the one that comes to mind the most. A lot of money went into that,
uh-huh.
Right? A lot of great artwork, a lot of great stories, they still failed.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I hope this works. I hope this works.
Well, the catch line that caught my eye was, audiences now expect their entertainment to be complete, immediate, affordable, and very, very good.
Right.
Now, they got us on the first few, but we'll see if they got us on the last
one. Okay, but here's the thing. So, it says here, you're going to have the binge book catalog, and eight pages.
Uh-huh.
It's not a lot.
No. Nope.
Only 8 pages.
Uh-huh.
Full-color catalog containing solicitations for binge books.
No.
This is Sit Comics, longer format comics with 64-page self-contained stories.
That's the binge part.
Okay, but how many books are going to be in that binge catalog?
Yeah.
What's the repertoire? Is it going to be eight?
I don't know.
And is it going to be...
Obviously, they're going to start with multiple titles. Whether that's 4 or 12, we don't know.
Well,
maybe we should know, but I didn't say it in this thing right here.
Good luck.
So that's that. I mean, like I said before, like I said earlier, if it catches any traction, where this is gonna really be influential is if it influences the other publishers.
Right. I agree. All right.
Next.
Okay. You know what? Do you want to go
Evening
to,
man? He's next.
David. What are we talking about next year?
Uh-huh.
You want to talk trends or you want to go to hot properties?
Let's go. You know what? Let's go to. We're going to take a commercial break, so let's go to Hot Properties and just talk about stuff that we don't know about.
Sure.
Which is pretty well this show's theme.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So, well, we talked a lot about Star Wars.
That's okay. So this is ICV2. It's a great website. It's an industry rag, as they call it.
Rag.
It's a great website, and they kind of have a weekly listing of properties that are trending, or that are, you know, good properties to be associated with.
Yep.
And they list off 10, and they, I think it's by order of importance.
Right.
So maybe we should, you want to go up or down?
You know what? Let's go, let's start at 10.
Okay, start at 10. So Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Why
I'm
would that make it?
Surprised that's on here.
I think, you know, I think I know why it's on.
Why is it on?
It's that new TV show.
It's terrible.
Is it?
Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, I watched the first two or three episodes, and it's terrible. Oh. I hated it.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it was terrible.
Why is it terrible? Like, is it trying to mimic number one? Like the first 60s
one? No, I don't even know what it is. I don't think it knows what it is.
Oh.
It's, you know, and yeah, I don't know. Part of it is, so Paramount, apparently, there's something to do with the ownership and the likenesses of Klingons. I'm gonna give them props. The okay. first couple episodes had a lot of Klingons in it, and they had a lot of great makeup. The makeup, however, it didn't exactly look like a Klingon, and apparently it has something to do with they don't have the full rights to do exactly what Klingons are supposed to look like.
Can they call them Klingons?
They can still call them Klingons,
right?
But they're not actually look like Klingons.
Wow.
But then the other thing was, and I gotta give them props for this, but there was a lot of talking in Klingon. So there's a lot of subtitles.
Right.
Which is, hey, you know what? All the power to them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to hear.
Hey, listen.
The whole time.
Is Klingon an official, like is Klingon a fleshed out language?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's some nerdy guys have way too much time.
Klingon? Oh, yeah.
Way too much time and way too much Mount Gay on their hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They created Klingon?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, I don't know. So, Chris is like,
But there's also the Star Trek movies, I don't know. I just don't get it, but anyways.
So, we're getting rave reviews from
Rave Chris reviews.
Owen about the new Star Trek, and that's why it's obviously made ICV2's list at number 10.
Perfect.
I don't get number 9, Chris.
Yeah,
I didn't even know this still existed.
Neither did I.
You know?
Neither did I.
And that's say Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, I can't believe it's still around. Yu-Gi-Oh! Whatever it's called.
Okay,
yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Apparently people love it still. Kids love it.
Well, I know at my comic shop.
Yeah.
Not my comic shop, the comic shop that's online.
Right.
At my personal comic shop.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if we even sell Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Maybe
anymore.
You should.
Apparently looks that way.
Yeah.
Because I don't see Pokemon.
Or
oh, yeah,
is there a cartoon?
It must be one of those after-school cartoons that the kids are still watching.
Maybe.
But all I know is that in the run-up to Christmas...
Nobody was asking for Yu-Gi-Oh?
No, everybody was asking for Pokemon. Right?
Okay, well... Let's just go. We'll jump to number six.
Number six, which is Pokemon.
Right.
Right. Which I'm impressed by their staying power.
It's been what?
You can tell, like, through the distributors that supply our shop, just the different types of packages for, let's say, Christmas gift boxes of
right.
Pokemon. They didn't just have a tin and then maybe just like a box.
Yeah.
They had, like, honestly, I'm going to say 7 or 8 different formats of gift boxes.
Right.
Like, it was
incredible.
And they
all sold.
Yeah,
perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Pokemon is on the forefront still.
Yeah.
Pokemon, I still see Pokemon, you know, Pikachu t-shirts and hats and trainer hats. I still see that around everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't see any Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, I don't get it.
So
I'm
either missing something or Yu-Gi-Oh shouldn't be on this list.
I totally agree.
All right.
Okay, so let's jump back to number 8. This is another surprising one.
Yeah. Well, it's a TV show.
I know, but still, Riverdale.
But it's Archie.
I know, but it's Archie.
But Archie's awesome.
Is it?
I don't know. I've never watched Riverdale.
I've watched one episode. That was terrible.
Was it good?
Well, people love it. But people say, oh, you know, got to give it 2 or 3 episodes. You know what? I disagree. I think in a show, if you want to get me hooked onto a show, you got to get me in the first episode. You got to give it half a season.
Yeah.
You know, if it's really that good, it should hook me right away.
Give it 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
by the end, you'll love it.
And then you'll start getting it.
Yeah.
All right, well...
But Riverdale, I don't get it, but apparently people do. I mean, people have said it's kind of like a weird Twin Peaks / 90210 kind of vibe going on, but you know what? Hey, all the power to it.
A hybrid.
Yeah.
Hey, Magic the Gathering's at number 7, and That's another amazing success story. But I don't know if you've tapped in lately to the news. It wasn't Magic the Gathering. It's that obviously that role-playing game, card game.
Yeah.
Wasn't Magic the Gathering slated for some sort of series of movies?
That's what I heard. And I haven't heard anything.
Like Lord of the Rings-ish?
Since, yeah, it's supposed to be like 5 movies. And yeah, I haven't. I don't know what's going on with that. I mean, I know that it's still popular. There's still
if Chris and I do anything before a show, it's we research, and we bring you information that you could use.
Especially all the intricacies about everything that's going on.
Intricacies.
Yes.
All right, let's not talk about Magic anymore. Apparently, we don't know anything about it.
Rick and Morty, number 5.
Rick and Morty, another thing we don't know anything about.
Yeah, that's not true. Let's not be so quick to judge.
Okay.
I have watched a lot of Rick and Morty.
Have you?
And it's great. It's a very, very...
Just like SpongeBob?
No, it's more adult. Oh. Way more adult. It's not SpongeBob. It's a way more adult. So it started on Adult Swim, which is the... more adult, mature-themed Cartoon Network time period. They put on all kinds of more mature cartoons.
Yeah.
And there's swearing, there's gore, there's nudity, there's all that stuff. But to a cartoony appeal to it.
Right.
So it's not like they're constantly swearing. There's not always blood and guts.
Right.
And the not even nudity, but like alien nudity and stuff
right.
like that,
I get
right?
it. I get it.
But it's a very, very funny show. It's very well written. It's in its I think it's going into its 4th season now. I think it's finished its 3rd.
Is it a thing that you watch online? There's no like network station.
Yeah. Well, like yeah, like there's. I mean, certainly on Cartoon Network would carry it.
Okay.
I'm sure the Cartoon Channel here, whatever that one's called, I can't remember now. It's certainly there's all kinds of places on TV that you can watch it. Very funny. It's the story of a mad scientist and his nephew and his grandson.
Perfect.
And they go to different worlds and aliens and all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay, so let's stick to TV and Runaways number 4.
This shocks me. Number 4, Runaways.
Well, because of the TV show.
Because of the TV show. I haven't even seen. No, you said you saw a little bit.
I saw the first one.
Yeah, and you said you liked it.
Like I said, I liked it. Kind of liked the way they kind of changed it up a little bit about how the kids kind of bond.
Yep.
And like I said, the only spoiler alert. Beep boop boop. Spoiler boop. I the big reveal in issue number 1 of the comic was again the central point of the comic. Really, kind of it made the most noise, and I felt the big reveal of the first episode.
Yep.
Was downplayed, and that should have been like the thing that was amplified.
Right.
And I thought it was muted.
Hey, so how much are Runaways number 1 selling for now? Have they gone up?
You know what? They
all,
definitely have. I think raw copies are north of $50 now.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I got one. Do you want to buy it off me?
Give you $10 for it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm for a little more than that, but
all right, listen, this number 3,
Justice League.
Woo.
Which is surprising but not surprising.
Well,
you know, it's got the movie that came out and
Hold on. We're kind of reviewing 2017, but we're not. But how much did the movie hurt Justice League franchise?
What do you mean?
It wasn't well received, was it?
No, but that doesn't mean it necessarily hurt it, because it still had a broad appeal to the characters, right? Mm-hmm. So people who didn't necessarily know who... I'll say Cyborg.
Right.
Right? Not everybody knows who Cyborg is. Now they're going to know. Maybe they're going to go off and buy a Cyborg.
Okay. So I have a... You know how you and I talked about how it's hard with comics. It's hard to create anything new.
Yes. Because
everybody wants Superman. Everybody wants Batman.
Yep,
everybody wants Spider-Man. Everybody wants Hulk. It's almost as if those up until, I don't know, you're gifted... A base,
yep.
If you're of a certain age or a certain level or whatever. So, did they make a mistake not going with hardcore staples all the way through and getting Cyborg, which was kind of like a newer fringe character,
yeah,
more than anything else, really? Like Cyborg rather than, I don't even know who's in the Justice League, but
okay,
rather than Green Lantern.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, but we both know why they chose Cyborg, right? You're looking at me like you don't know. We know Cyborg is African American.
Okay, they
needed to round out the all white okay. crew.
Right, I get it.
You know,
but they've had African American Green Lanterns.
True. Yeah.
So why don't you go with like? I'm not talking about the person portraying it or the color of the skin of the person portraying it. I'm talking about the character.
Right. Like, right. You're right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the character. Yeah. Like John Stewart would have been a perfect.
Yeah, perfect. I totally agree.
But you know, because Green Lantern has weight to it as a character, right?
Yes. But Green Lantern also had a terrible movie a couple years ago.
But at least he had a movie.
Right.
But Cyborg never got a dinner.
I know, but maybe. Maybe, okay, but you could have said the same thing about Iron Man when it first came out. Who cares about Iron Man? You know, remember, now, 10 years ago...
I hate it when you talk sense.
But 10 years ago, remember, Iron Man was like a C or D list character.
C.
Okay, C. So it wasn't B.
Give me a C.
A bouncy C.
Yeah, okay.
Right? All right. You know, that was a gamble with Iron Man. Now, all of a sudden, Iron Man's a hot property.
Yep. Right. All right. Justice League is on the list. It's at number 3 somehow. Oh. And as our friends in Quebec would say, number 2 it belongs to Thor.
I don't understand this one at all. At all. I mean.
Okay. Have you seen Thor the movie?
Yes, I've seen all of them.
No, the new one.
Yeah, Ragnarok aside.
Yeah. So I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen the other two. And I've seen him in Avengers and all that stuff. And I'm told, and I'm nervous and worried about watching the new one, because it's a total departure from the way the character is
totally
portrayed.
Totally is.
So let me ask you, because you saw it.
Yeah.
Did you like the change or not like the change?
Here's what I'm going to say about that.
What are you going to say about it?
I didn't mind the change.
Uh-huh.
I understand the change.
Uh-huh.
I think the change made the character more appealing to a wider audience,
mm-hmm.
which I think was brilliant in Marvel's choice.
Brilliant!
Because I think that they've told the stories very well. The one story that they still haven't told of Thor yet is the really gritty frost giant killing... You know, down and dirty Thor. They haven't done that.
Right.
They've done the Playboy.
The Conan Thor.
Yeah, they haven't done that. They've done the Playboyish kind of like.
Uh-huh. Or the know, bad boy, the brat.
The bad boy, the brat. Yeah. They've done those kind of ones. Uh-huh. And in Dark World, they got the poor me on, I've saved the universe. Yeah. But they haven't really done the hard hitting Conan, struggling.
Hardcore.
Thor,
right? Norse,
Norse mythology,
Hyperborean, battles.
They haven't done that yet,
right?
And that's what I want to see. But I understand why they haven't done it, because they can do a Thor Hulk buddy movie, and there's going to be a much wider appeal drama of a Conan-esque movie.
Now, hey, did Frazetta ever draw Thor?
That's a great question. Not that I know of.
Right. Because Frazetta drew some of those paintings where that fantastic kind of Norse, almost Norse-ish, almost Vikings-ish.
Yeah. You know, look but I don't think he actually ever drew Thor himself. He drew characters that would probably belong in a Thor comic.
That's what I'm saying. So wouldn't that have been great to have one Frazetta
piece? Totally. Because he drew a frost giant.
Well, with Conan on the mountaintop against the two frost giant brothers or whatever they were. But
and that's amazing. I mean, so couldn't you could picture Thor fighting them, right?
Yeah. Oh.
But, I don't know.
All right. Well, Thor is number 2 on the hot properties list, and number 1 with a bullet, Chris.
With a bullet.
With a lightsaber.
Yes.
With a phaser. With a phaser.
Yeah. Star Wars is, of course, number 1.
So that belongs number 1.
Absolutely. You know what? Star Wars is... it's almost become a religion now.
It's a juggernaut.
It is.
Well, Jedi is a religion.
Yeah, so
I think
right.
it's an official religion somewhere.
Somewhere.
People practice Jedi.
Maybe in Uzbekistan or something.
Or like Utah. Wonderful.
Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we're going to come back. We don't really have a whole lot of time left. We've been blabbing on about something. I don't really know what. And thank goodness you guys are still listening to our show. But anyways, we're going to have a little bit more here. This one's called The Library of Gorth. Anytime now. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's some sweet stuff. I think Gorth had a little tap going on.
I think library there. I liked it.
All right. Brings us to the next part of industry news. And the next part of industry news is brought to you by Bailey's.
Bailey's?
Yeah, Bailey's Club Soda.
Nice.
Nothing goes better
in your coffee
than Bailey's Club Soda.
It's Club Soda. Nice. All right, so Walt, you know, one of the things we probably should talk about, and this is a story that occurred towards the end of 2017, and you and I have not talked about it yet on our show.
No, we haven't.
Brian Michael Bendis, longtime writer for Marvel.
I don't even want to call him a longtime writer. He was like an architect, one of the main architects of the Marvel Universe.
For what, last 20 years?
20 years, maybe. I remember him easily in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So
I think we first felt him the biggest, I think, during what? The Daredevil run?
Maybe Daredevil run was a big one. That was probably the biggest.
Where he kind of set the tone,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. But, I mean, he started with Image. And he did a couple of graphic novels, and they did Powers, and was a huge Powers fan.
Yeah.
But he, you know, a longtime architect, sure, it's a great word for Marvel, is leaving. He's going off to DC.
Wow.
And you know what? And I might get flack for this.
Uh huh.
Good riddance.
See ya.
I don't care
old
for
man.
The, I don't. You know what? I don't care for the guy.
Why not?
I don't think his stories are that great. I don't think his storytelling is that good.
It used to be, I thought.
He's really great at taking
a 2-issue arc and stretching it into a 5-issue arc.
12 issues.
Whew.
You know, you look at the old stories. Yeah, the old stories.
The old stories.
And, you know, something actually happened in those books.
Uh-huh.
In his books, nothing ever happened.
Right.
You know, and, you know.
We used to do more in 3 pages than you did.
I don't think. I'm glad he's leaving Marvel. I honestly don't think he's that great of a storyteller. And, People will may write in and tell me otherwise.
I think you got a point in the sense that
I think he's overrated.
Because when he started with the Marvel, that was a knock on that kind of elongated approach. Right, it's like, oh my God, come on!
Yeah,
you know, like I could have paid $12 for the story. You made me pay $29.
Exactly,
right?
and unfortunately, it's stuck. And I think that's one of the things that Marvel is suffering from these
right,
days.
Yeah, he did kind of. I don't want to say revolutionize that, but he definitely was one of the ones that kind of really, one of the ones that brought it to a successful forefront,
right,
in terms of the publisher actually going with it.
But you know, the other things he did very successfully, I might add, to my chagrin, was when there was these broad sweeping storylines and arcs and what do you call it, event titles, say, you know, you'd read them and then you'd realize you really didn't need to read them because nothing actually happened.
Oof.
Right? So you'd read a Civil War, or you'd read a whatever, and then you'd realize that by the end of all that, nothing actually happened. And in fact, the last issue usually led into yet another story arc. So, you know, it was just pointless.
Wow. Let me ask you a question then.
Ask me.
You have a good way to. You're a very convincing guy.
Very convincing.
You change people's minds. I initially thought, well, isn't Marvel / Disney bigger than DC / Warner? How can they lose talent like that? It should be going the other way around. Marvel should be siphoning from the other publishers and not losing their big guns.
Good riddance to them.
But maybe Marvel kind of says, hey, we don't like you anymore.
And you know what? That's possible. Uh-huh. I did read some stories of how Dan DiDio has been sort of, you know, helping him to make the move to DC, which I think is horrible on his part. But anyways, it's neither here nor there for me to say so. I think DC is doing some great things right now. And I think that they're very smart in their storytelling and in their reaction to the fans.
So can Bendis make an impact on DC? And my knock on DC, Chris, is they're a one-trick pony. They're a one-horse town. They're I don't know what any other.
But I don't think they are, though.
They're all Batman.
I don't think they are. And if that's the perception, it's wrong. And I think there's so much more to DC.
Should I stop spreading that perception?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's more to DC than that. But unfortunately, they've done a poor job of conveying that. So, okay, here's my point.
Here's your point.
When you were a kid, and when I was a kid, maybe you didn't watch them as much as I did, because I'm a little bit younger than you are. You had the Justice League and the Super Friends, and you had
that the one with Ted Knight.
Meanwhile, yeah, all that stuff. Okay. You had the Aquaman show and all that, and you know what? I knew who all these amazing characters were from the TV show. Right, and then you had the X-Men show, and DC had Batman. Didn't really have a whole lot of Superman. Had some Superman, but that's about it. Whereas Marvel had Spider-Man and X-Men and
Hulk
and
Thor, Captain America,
all that stuff,
Fantastic
right?
Four, yeah. Daredevil,
and now all of a sudden, did they really do a good job of keeping up the interests in other ways besides comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I think that Marvel usurped them in that sense.
Yeah.
I think they've relied too much on Batman.
Maybe that's it.
Right.
Maybe
I think they keyed into this notion that everybody loves Batman, so let's keep going for it. Whereas they had Superman and Wonder Woman waiting in the wings, saying, "Hey, don't forget about us."
They're out in a corner over there doing Lord knows what to each other, waiting for their turn.
Right, and
for their shot. And just give me a shot.
And now, you know, Wonder Woman is. They're saying how all these great things about the Wonder Woman movie. You know, I think DC has a lot of great characters that have not been tapped into yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, and I think Marvel is the same way, but I think they need to scale back a little bit. I think they've tried too hard now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
They're spreading themselves too thin.
That's a good point. It's almost like, in all honesty, it's almost like there's more trouble in Comic Land than there is success stories in Comic Land.
Oh, totally.
What I'm trying to say is there seems to be an identity crisis. Not an identity crisis, a mission statement crisis. I don't know what I'm trying to say, really, but the way comic books are delivering stories to customers isn't being optimized right now, and it's not at its apex of where it was once was, and there's something askew, and we just don't know what.
Well, you know what? I think unfortunately the companies are too afraid of actually making an impact with a storyline.
Right.
You know, and you know what? Comics are soap operas. I get it. But you still want to have, you want to read a good story, and you want to have, there wants to be some sort of, impact at the end of the story, especially when they have these giant, broad sweeping storylines that you read and you're like, oh, so the whole event of that one was Elektra was a Skrull. That was the big, end to that storyline. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Who cares about this character that nobody cared about?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Right.
No,
so
you're
I don't
right.
know. Anyways,
you're right.
I say good riddance to Bendis.
Good riddance to Bendis.
Not a fan.
Hey, how much time we got? We don't have enough time for
A few more minutes.
A few more minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about 2018.
Okay, what are we going
to? Things
talk
we're
about?
Looking forward to.
Okay.
Hey, you got any predictions at all?
You know what? Black Panther's coming out soon in the next couple months.
Yeah, and that's going to do well.
That's going to do very well.
Good.
I'm cautiously optimistic though. I don't think Black Panther was barely portrayed in Civil War.
Yeah.
So I don't know how well he's going to do because people just don't know the character. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, they didn't know Thor and Iron Man. And
yeah, you're right.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I've seen the trailers and it looks awesome.
Right.
It looks great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got Infinity War coming up in May.
A huge one.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I hope that they introduce a couple more characters in that.
Uh-huh. Who can we see? Now, I can't really see anybody. I have no idea who to predict that they're going to draw out of that stable.
I think they're going to draw Captain Marvel out. We have not seen her yet.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really know.
Right, but you know there's going to be some
comment. There's going to be somebody.
You know that there's already an Easter, what do you call it, bunny egg?
Easter egg, yeah.
Easter egg.
So here's my question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that in that movie, they're going to, now that Disney owns Fox, do you think we're going to see any of the characters from the...
Too late, I think it's already filmed.
You can always put something in the end. It's filmed, but it's not... distributed yet.
Right.
Yeah, so you can always add a little something at the very end, right?
Or I don't know. I hope they get him in an Easter egg.
Right.
I hope they can get him in an Easter egg as alluding to something coming.
Right.
But I do know, I don't know anything, but I'm assuming and I'm making the call that Marvel will, maybe in a later movie in the year, they will introduce Captain Fantastic, Mr. Fantastic,
and
Fantastic Four. They will not put them in a movie right away.
See, you know what?
They will put them in a cameo to another movie. Probably Guardians.
Yep.
Probably something like that.
See, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if, like, at the end of Infinity War, you had, like, Star-Lord talking to Groot or something like that, and then all of a sudden you saw this like big blue stretchy arm coming and tapping Groot on the back or something like that, and so you don't even need to see Mr. Fantastic.
I understand, right?
Or you see like the shadow of Wolverine and the claws coming out.
Yeah, or something.
Something like that would just...
Well, they won't do... Wolverine doesn't belong in that universe, but they'll definitely put FF or Surfer.
Somebody like that.
That's kind of exciting.
Maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy, they find out that, you know, Galactus is coming again or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they don't have enough time to write them into the movies because the movies were already written and already kind of generally produced. They're in post-production right now.
Yeah.
But they definitely have time to add it to...
To the end of the end credits.
At the end credits.
You get a little scene in there.
And there are a couple movies coming out in the last half of 2018 that are Marvels, or the very first half of 2019, where they can actually incorporate them into storylines.
Exactly.
Which is kind of probably the most exciting thing for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wouldn't it be great, though, as a prediction? Wouldn't it be great if Marvel bought DC? I'm just thinking of
that. That'll never happen.
I'm just thinking of my long box of amalgams.
All those DC Marvel
characters. Oh, my God. Those are terrible. Maybe they'll go up in value or something like that. They'll actually make those characters.
Make some money off Batclaw.
Yeah, I know, eh? Those are bad.
Yeah, terrible.
But anyway, 2018, I'm looking forward to a lot of things here. I'm looking forward to... I think the most thing I'm looking forward to is the 49 shows you and I are going to pound out.
39 more after this one.
Right.
Perfect.
All right. Listen, that's all the time we have for this comic culture. Please check us out at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and of course, always on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.